Welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every Sunday night, right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And now your host, Mark Walters.
Uh-huh. I like it. Oh, I am prepared to wage the assault weapons battle again, and I intend to do so. I have been quiet about this because there are many other pressing needs of this nation. But with the help of the president, the administration, and the people of this great country, we need to fight back. Everybody's leftist, anti-gun best friend, Senator Dianne Feinstein, last month. Unbelievable. America, you are tuned in to Armed American Radio, brought to you every Sunday night by the USCCA, that's the United States Concealed Carry Association. If you are not a member, do so. Become one. Join us. www.usconcealedcarry.com. You will not be disappointed. I'm your host, Mark Walters, a.k.a. the Ordinary Guy columnist for Concealed Carry Magazine, the flagship publication for the USCCA. We're broadcasting live tonight from Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA studios here in beautiful Buckhead, sunny Buckhead, not raining for the first time in a while. And if you wish to participate in the show tonight, you can reach out to us 888-920-2665. That's 888-920-2665 or 770-226-0920. 770-226-0920. We've got a heck of a show for everybody tonight. But first, our producer and board operator is Mr. Eugene Bright, standing over here in front of me, doing a bang-up job. And the crowd roars. And the crowd roars. The crowd just died. And the crowd roars again. There he goes. He likes that. He's patting himself on the back over there. But we have got a heck of a show for everybody tonight. I'm not going to waste a lot of time tonight attacking the teleprompter-in-chief. Or however we want to refer to him, the joke-in-chief, the appeaser-in-chief, the apologist-in-chief. I got to throw one dig in here. It was ironic to see him over in France. It's tough to listen to him, folks. You know, three, 4 weeks ago, he was over there apologizing for the United States. Now he's over there laying wreaths and everything else. And, you know, I'd like to see him apologize on D-Day.
Don't!
Exactly. Make you kind of sick to your stomach. However, we got a couple things I want to touch on tonight real quick. That was one of them. We'll let him go. We don't want to talk about him tonight. But the pharmacist tonight out there in Oklahoma, you know, this is a rough story. I'm not real comfortable with this thing. You've got Jerome J. Ursland charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of a teenager who tried to rob the pharmacy. And anybody out there, you've probably seen the news programs. You've probably watched this watch this time and time again. It's going to, you know, I saw this on Bill O'Reilly the other day. I just don't see a jury in Oklahoma convicting this man. I just don't see it happening. However, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the fact that he went back behind the counter, grabbed a second weapon, came back out and fired at somebody that was down. And I think that's why the prosecutor felt like they had to do something. However, you know what? If you're robbing a pharmacist, you're in the wrong line of work. And more power to the pharmacist, okay? But first-degree murder, premeditated. So anybody who has a gun to defend themselves can be charged with first-degree murder, because if you're carrying a weapon, you must be planning on using it. Is this the mindset that we're seeing here? I don't know. So it's going to be interesting to watch this play out. But I'll tell you what, you heard it here. This guy's going to walk. They have no business charging this man with this crime. It's mind-boggling. But crazier things have happened. Probably the biggest story out there this week that popped was the NRA case in Chicago, where the 7th District Court upheld Chicago's gun ban, upheld the city's gun ban. Of course, this comes in the wake of the Heller decision, which overturned D.C.'s gun ban. Now, there's some complications there, but because that is, and because this is such an important case, what do we as gun owners, what does this mean to us? We've interrupted our regularly scheduled guest, who we'll get to in just a few minutes after this segment, to bring Mr. Dane von Breiken-Rukhart, the president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, back to the airwaves with us tonight to talk about the ramifications of this and what it means to us as gun owners. And Dane joins me now live on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. Dane, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you for asking me.
A pleasure to have you back, as usual. Dane, this is a really bizarre thing. You know, we've got the Ninth Circuit out there, and we've got the second, or the Seventh Circuit, correct?
Yes, it's the Seventh Circuit.
Explain to us what's happening here.
Well, very basically, is when the Bill of Rights were written, they were not initially binding against the states. It was against the central government. It was to keep the new central government in check. But over the years, it became clear that the states could be as oppressive as the central government could be, and particularly after the Civil War, under the 14th Amendment, they formed a doctrine under the 14th Amendment, which was to incorporate the Bill of Rights, the various clauses of the Bill of Rights, into the Constitution so that they would be binding against the states as well. But the way it had to be done, and there was a lot of argumentation back then about how to go about that, do you just automatically just in one foul swoop make all of the clauses binding against the states, or do you have to wait until a case comes up that involves that issue and then what is called selective incorporation through a process of case-by-case basis? And that's how it turned out. And that's why we have some elements of the Second Amendment which has been incorporated, and we have other elements, and an entire, like the Third Amendment and the Second Amendment in their entirety has not yet been incorporated under the 14th Amendment, which would give us protections against state intrusions upon our right to keep and bear arms.
Dane, why is this taking over 250 years to figure this out?
Well, the hands of justice move very slowly. I mean, believe me, if we were talking about other things and other issues, the same question is asked over and over and over again. The wheels of justice can move very slowly. And but by the way, particularly on the Second Amendment, one of the biggest reasons was apathy. It was just because if you're not apathetic and you're just really angry and you get out there and demand and pound your fists long enough, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. But unfortunately, from the Miller case up until the Heller case, we went almost 70 years without any real guidance from the Supreme Court as to what the rules should be. So this is, you know, you get what you ask for. And if you fall into lapses of lethargy, this is what you can expect. And by the way, you don't lose your rights overnight, believe me. All of the losses of our rights did not disappear in a foul sweep. It was over a long period of time, people chiseling and chiseling and chiseling at the edges. And all of a sudden, one day, we woke up and realized the damage that was done. And we're not going to get them back overnight. We're going to have to chisel back.
Well, let's talk real quick. You know, the confusion. You've got the most liberal circuit and the most overturned circuit, coincidentally.
Yes.
Coincidentally. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. But you've got the Ninth Circuit out there on the leftist coast, obviously the most overturned circuit in the United States, and they're out there siding with us, it appears, on the purpose for the Second Amendment, saying that the Second Amendment has been incorporated. Am I wrong? Can you correct me there?
For the purposes of their trying to settle the NORDAC case, what they said to themselves was, okay, before we rule on the merits of this case, having a gun show on county grounds, which was the issue, since the Heller case has presented itself and the rulings that were made, the Ninth Circuit said we need to settle the matter. Is incorporation an element here? And if it is, we need to consider it in our deliberations on NORDAC. And what they did, they essentially agreed that under the Due Process Clause, which was not the most favorable way to go, I would have much rather seen it under the Privileges and Immunities, but that's a very, 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 very complicated argument. We don't need to get into that here. But, yeah, it is. It's one of those flukes. And you know, it happens every once in a while. Who would have thunk it? But they did. They said that from their point of view, based upon the Nordic case, that yeah, the Second Amendment should be and is, insofar as they were concerned, should be incorporated under the 14th Amendment. But, of course, the people that were seeking to put on the show at the grounds lost their case. So it was kind of like an Emerson event all over again. You know, Emerson out of the Fifth Circuit, where the guy lost his rights to have a handgun, but they wrote one of the best diatribes on Second Amendment jurisprudence that you could have ever asked for. So you never know what's coming out of left field in the American jurisprudence field.
Okay, I got a couple things here that I want to ask you about, because I know there's going to be a lot of people out there that were as confused as I was. Number one, what does this mean? Now, you know, the reason I'm a little confused here is because the Brady campaign is usually very quick to jump on something like this, you know, with their stinging defeats and, you know, to the NRA, because they're in business to do one thing, and that's to defeat the mighty NRA. They don't care about anything else. I won't go into that, but how come I'm not seeing a response from them on this?
Well, I've seen a little bit of a response. It's not much. But by the way, you're not going to see a whole lot of response on the other side. The reason why is because we had to have this happen. I don't like the way it came about. The three judges, particularly Judge Posner, I was a little concerned. We had Easterbrook, Bauer, and Posner, who were the three judges on the panel in Illinois. And I'll have to admit, I was a little concerned about the level of language that they used and the arguments they made. You know, if I had thought that they were playing devil's advocate, it wouldn't bother me. But it did kind of spook me a little bit about some of the language that they were using. It looked like they were really kind of trying to come down on the side of the fence where incorporation could not be done, that this would be left open to cities and states and municipalities and counties and so forth under the 10th Amendment.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a second. And then I want to ask you something about our latest Supreme Court nominee and where we fit in here. Folks, Dane, you can stick around with us for a few minutes after the break, correct?
I sure can.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir. Feel free to give us a call, everybody, 770-226-0920, 770-226-0920, 888-920-2665 outside of Atlanta, 888-920-2665. You're listening to Armed American Radio, everybody.
This is Joe Cordell. I'm here to talk to you about an unpleasant but an important subject, and that's the subject of divorce. If you're in a good marriage, or even a marriage that's not so good but that can be saved, then you can tune out for the next 60 seconds. Now I want to speak to the guys that are still listening. Odds are you're like a lot of guys. You've worked hard to get ahead, you have a nice home, some savings, a solid retirement plan, and children that you love more than life itself. Yet despite your thoughtful game plan, you're now facing a divorce that you can't avoid. That's where we come in. Cordell & Cordell makes it its business to focus on representing men in your situation.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives, which includes protecting men's financial means to do so. Call the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell, a partner men can count on, 404-842-0009. Now with offices conveniently located in Buckhead, Lawrenceville, and Kennesaw, 842-0009, 842-0009.
Now is the best time to buy a home. Why? It's a buyer's market with deep discounts on both new and pre-owned homes in Greater Atlanta. Plus, additional tax credits may apply for certain home purchases. Also, mortgage rates are the lowest they've been in nearly 50 years. So, who should you call?
Nobody knows Atlanta like Chris Monroe.
With nearly 20 years spent covering Atlanta from the ground and from the air, Chris knows Atlanta real estate like no one else. What you'll get from Chris is unmatched personal service. Call Chris Monroe now, 404-924-5520.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. Town Hall Magazine is your connection to the conservative renaissance now underway, with reporting and analysis you won't find anywhere else. And when you log on to townhall.com and subscribe, you'll get your choice of one of six outstanding books for free. You can choose my own GOP 5.0 as your free gift when you subscribe to Town Hall Magazine. But if you've already got my book, you can choose my colleague Michael Medved's 10 Big Lies About America or one of the four others. Log on to townhallmagazine.com and pick your free book. Do it today. townhallmagazine.com.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit georgiacarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiacarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
The most authoritative and comprehensive political coverage on your radio, 920 AM WGKA.
I ain't got no family with a pocket full of shells. They barely got no family with a pocket full of shells.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio, America, where we are not stopping until you have the choice anywhere in America to listen to us on your radio dial. We're not stopping. We do not need any more dangerous people in our national parks. We do not need any more dangerous people in our national parks. I would agree with that statement as well if it were not Paul Helmke, the president of the Brady campaign, referring to law-abiding concealed carry holders several weeks ago before they got burned and their credit card legislation was passed and they don't like it. So we win that one, and that's nice to know. Ladies and gentlemen, feel free to join us, 770-226-0920, 770-226-0920. Outside Atlanta, 888-920-2665, 888-920-2665. We're getting great feedback from listeners across the country. A lot of them say, we just don't have enough time to call. It's only an hour program. We like listening. We want you to call. The program's for you. You're not bothering us. We'll stick you live on the air. So if you get the itch, scratch it. Pick the phone up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with Mr. Dane Von Breiken-Rookhart, the president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, who will be joining us at the Georgia Carey First Annual Convention, July 31st to August 1st, with me and Mr. Dick Heller. The three of us will be speaking together at a question and answer session. You want to be there. I know we've got a lot of GCO members out there listening tonight. I read the update as well. Make sure you get involved and show up at that convention. Go ahead and sign up. It's going to be an awful lot of fun, and you don't want to miss meeting Dick. And Dick Heller himself and Mr. Dane Von Breiken-Rookhart, who is back on the air with us right now on Armed American Radio. Dane, next question for you. Sotomayor, this kind of goes along with her ruling, does it not?
Oh, yeah, it does. And by the way, you know, there's a doctrine at law. It's called the excited utterance doctrine. It's a real interesting doctrine because it says that the hearsay rule is suspended when a person voluntarily information against their own best interest. Like if you're in an automobile accident and the person jumps out of the car and goes, oh, it's my fault, I'm so sorry, that can be used against her, even though third, fourth parties heard what she said. The hearsay rule applies. And the reason why is because those who make the laws realize that the so-called excited utterance is when people are the most honest. They say things even though they're against their own best interest. And one of the reasons that they're not prevented from being entered as evidence in a court case is because of the doctrine that says that the excited utterance is because it's not coerced. You're not being interviewed by the police. You're not being ground by anybody. This is a statement that you make voluntary without being prompted. And if you look at these things that she has had to say, you know, and then they come back the day or two later and they try to say, oh, well, she didn't really mean that. She meant something else. I've got news for you. You better listen to the first words out of her mouth because that's what she's all about.
You know, I've been reading quite a bit of some of her decisions, and she frightens me. Let me put it this way. We all know that Obama was going to replace a liberal with a liberal, and I'm not real worried about the structure of the court right now. Should I be?
Well, right now, insofar as the 5-4 split goes, unless, God forbid, one of the five justices that it unfortunately is referred to as being right of center. I don't see them being right of center. I see them as being correct. But if any one of those five could not serve any further, yes, that would be a severe danger. I mean, that's when the tide would turn. So the worst that Obama can do insofar as this particular case goes with the Heller decisions is that the complexion of the court is going to remain 5-4. The problem is that you don't know exactly how she's going to rule. You know, there are things other than the Second Amendment to be concerned with. And we have to kind of look at her holistically and realize that, you know, she brings in a whole panoply of ideas that are just antithetical to what America is supposed to be about. You know, and she, these are her beliefs. And, you know, I can respect them. You know, I can disagree, but people like that have no business coming in and usurping the court with their own ideas about how the world should operate. She is there like it's been said before, to call the balls and strikes, and she should not be trying to supplant her ideas and ideals about how America should work. Her job is to do an analysis of the cases that come before her and rule within the laws. And she might have to hold her nose from time to time. We all do. Well, a lot of times there are laws that we don't like, but we know that that's the law, that's the Constitution. And by the way, she has the instrument of dissent. So do all of them. If they're not happy with it, they can write Congress. They can write a dissent, and they can write Congress. They can say, Congress, I am a Supreme Court justice, and you ought to do something about this stinking law. And say what it is. I mean, they can do that, you know.
But well, she's made her points very clear. She believes that the court is there to set policy, and I fear that. As all Americans should. I don't care what side of the fence you're on, right, left. The court does not set policy. The court, you know, that's of course we hear the term. It's legislating from the bench. We all know what that means. And that's not what the courts are for. And that's an argument, I guess, for another day. But if I go back to guns for just a second here, the Chicago gun ban. As a gun owner, am I now worried about this going to the Supreme Court? I'm going to assume that this is exactly what we wanted, and this is exactly what the NRA planned on, because we feel pretty comfortable with the decision that obviously you think the Supreme Court's going to take this case, correct?
Well, it pretty much has to. I don't think it has any choice, because you have complete split between the circuits. So this is their raison d'etre. This is one of the things that they absolutely have to do because it's a part of their business, and they're going to have to settle the differences between two circuits on the same issue, yes.
Now, what happens if the Supreme Court rules against us, and I say us being gun owners and against the Second Amendment incorporation and so forth? What happens?
Well, essentially is that, thankfully, most of the states in the United States have within their constitutions, within their state constitutions, the right to keep and bear arms. But we have a handful of states and their counties and cities and municipalities that ban guns and control them beyond reason, and it's going to be bad. It's not going to be a pretty picture. And by the way, you're going to see the anti-gun forces trying to build on that, and they will. They will build out on that decision, and they will say, you see, we told you so. Heller was just an empty Pyrrhic victory. Yeah, okay, so Heller and his boys in D.C. can have a gun in their home. Okay, big deal. So what? Guess what? We're the rest of the country, and you're in trouble.
Are you telling me that Washington, D.C., in the worst-case scenario, could wind up being the freest gun city in the country?
It could. It could be just the opposite, that where here you, and if other states and municipalities start backing off on their Second Amendment obligations, And people take positions there, and they hold their conferences and start removing these things. Ironically, given enough time, the District of Columbia could be one of the most your wish for the good old days.
Oh man! Oh man! Oh man! That's something I don't even want to think about on a Sunday evening, Dane. That didn't make me feel good. However, I there are just some things, you know, you get that feeling in your gut that you just can't. You just don't see it happening.
Well, having said what I said, that's the worst-case scenario. I actually do think that we will prevail. I think the court was sending us a message. And by the way, they weren't sending it to you and me. They were. I think that the appellate level judges have been severely irked by the Supreme Court over the last 70 years since Miller.
Dane, I'm going to have to cut you off. I hate to do that. We've got music in the background. Sir, I want to thank you very much. We went over a little bit with you. Boy, I tell you, we could talk about this for another hour. But stick around, folks, on Armed American Radio. We've got an active duty Georgia law enforcement officer here in the studio joining me that's going to talk about you, your guns, and how to handle a stop with law enforcement. We'll be right back on Armed American Radio, everybody.
This is meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center, where the overnight hours will be mainly clear and comfortable with low 66. During the day Monday and for Tuesday, it will be partly sunny and rather warm, but not too humid both days. We'll see temperatures approaching 90. For Wednesday and Thursday, partly sunny skies and a bit more humid. There'll be an afternoon and evening thunderstorm in the area each day. High both days, close to 90. I'm meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center, powered by AccuWeather.
Men and women, if you've got 10 to 30 pounds or more to lose, please listen carefully. Guys, many of us tend to overeat. We eat too much red meat, fast foods, and processed foods. This keeps the belly flabby and keeps our bodies overweight. Ladies, have you ever said, "I feel fat today," or do you have this bloated feeling? And how many of you have been trying to lose the same 10 to 20 pounds for years? There's a healthy and faster way to lose weight than any diet pill. It's called EverCleanse, a clinically proven weight loss and detox formula that helps you lose weight and get rid of the 5 to 25 pounds of waste that some experts say is trapped to the colon walls like spackle or paste. 2 weeks of EverCleanse may be equal to months of dieting. It's simple, too. Natural, tasteless crystals that dissolve in any food or beverage. EverCleanse will flatten out your midsection, reduce love handles, and belly ease and bloating have been disappearing in just days. You see, EverCleanse gets rid of the weight you can't take off by exercising or starving yourself on a diet. And it's not something you have to take for the rest of your life. Visit us at EverCleanse.com or call now to receive a very special offer.
Phone 1-800-919-5249. 800-919-5249. 800-919-5249.
St. Jude Hospital is dedicated to finding cures for the catastrophic illnesses of childhood. Patients accepted are treated without regard to their family's ability to pay. On June 12th and 13th, you can help the kids of St. Jude by playing in the Tee Off for Tykes Golf Tournament on Pine Tree Country Club's newly renovated 18-hole private course in Kennesaw. Your donation includes dinner, open bar, and an auction Friday evening, June 12th, for you and a guest, and golf on Saturday, June 13th. Please go to teeofffortykes.com to register. That's teeofffortykes.com.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit georgiacarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiacarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
You're listening to the radio home of the We the People Revolution. Welcome to the movement. Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
No more quotes. No more quotes coming into this segment of the show. I want to thank Mr. Von Breichen-Ruckhardt. Thank him very much from the bottom of my heart for taking the time out to join us tonight. We could have stuck with him for another hour, and I understand as we were leaving that segment that Mr. Dick Heller walked in as well, and unfortunately we had to move to the second segment, but I promise you that we're going to have both of them back on very soon. And as I mentioned at the previous break, Mr. Dick Heller and Mr. Von Breichen-Ruckhardt will be joining me live at the GeorgiaCarey.org convention. If you're not a member, join and go. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. Folks, we've got a really fun half hour here coming up. Sitting to my right in the studio, we have an active duty law enforcement officer from the state of Georgia who joins me tonight. Due to the sensitivity of his job and the nature of his work, I cannot identify him. I'll just go ahead and we'll just call him Hugh for the rest of the evening. But you're going to want to hear this because we've got some great conversation. This comes up on gun forums across the country. It doesn't matter where you're at. Any reputable gun forum on the internet, you're going to see threads, posts, comments, topics. What do I do if I'm lawfully armed? And by the way, if you're a convicted felon, turn the dial. You're not welcome here. We don't want you. Only law-abiding citizens stick around. But what do I do if I'm a law-abiding citizen? I'm lawfully carrying my weapon, and I get my taillights out. Well, you get a lot of points of view on that, and we're going to get some direct from the horse's mouth tonight. Hugh, active duty Georgia law enforcement, joins me tonight. Hugh, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me, Mark.
Hugh, we've got so many questions for you tonight. I don't even know where to start.
Go ahead, man. I love it. I love it.
If you go to any of the gun forums and any of the posting boards out there, you're going to see, what do I do if I'm stopped? And it seems to be a traffic stop. So first off, let me give some numbers out here because we might want to get some callers in here if
we can.
And folks, you're welcome. All those people that wrote in that said they didn't have the time because they wanted to listen to the program, go ahead and interrupt us. 770-226-0920. 770-226-0920. 888-920-2665 outside of Atlanta. 888-920-2665 outside of Atlanta. This is your opportunity to talk to a law enforcement officer that might be able to answer these questions for you, okay? So come on in and ask away. Hugh, the traffic stop. I've been stopped twice myself. Both times I was carrying. I won't tell you what I did, but I want to get your opinion. Okay, what is it that you're looking for? And I'm going to set the scenario for you. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm lawfully carrying a firearm, and I'm pulled over for speeding on my way to get ice cream with my family in the car, which is exactly what happened to me. And I'm in a state that does not require that I tell the officer that I'm lawfully carrying. Talk to us.
Okay. First of all, I want to back up. I want to say when we stop you, please don't take it personal. When we stop you, we don't know who's in the car. We don't know if you're Charles Manson or you're Mr. Goodbar going to get ice cream. When I stop you, I like to practice the art of verbal judo, which means if you've seen the old Roadhouse quote, be nice. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to be badge heavy. I'm going to treat you with respect. I'm going to come up to the car. For the sake of officer safety, I would like to know that you've got a gun. I would like you to inform me before you dig around for your wallet and stuff. If you've got your wallet and your insurance card already out when I get up there, 90% of the time I'm not going to know. It is a courtesy to the officer, but remember something. If you'll go into a traffic stop and walk in my shoes and we don't have any preconceived notions, we'll work through this together. The same people that get mad about a traffic stop are the same people who will stop me in a coffee shop and say, man, I wouldn't do your job. How can you walk up on a car? Because they are a good person, and they know they're a good person. I don't know they're a good person until
all right.
then.
You know, that's a great point, and I'm looking at the USCCA website right now, usconcealedcarry.com, and the forum's great. And there's a question on here I went and I pulled, and as I mentioned when we came back from break, we can find questions like this all over the place. But here, and I'll read this to you. If I'm carrying in my, and you haven't seen this, by the way, if I'm carrying in my purse, do I inform before or after reaching in my purse to get my license and permit? My gun wouldn't be exposed when I get into it for my licenses. So if I get those first, hand them to the officer, and then inform him my gun is in my purse, would he be alarmed that I had just reached in it?
Well, that's a fine line. That's where we have officer discretion, just like whether you're going to get a ticket or not at the end of the traffic stop, or whether you're going to get a verbal warning, whether you're going to get a written warning. It basically depends on how the traffic stop goes. That's why I always say kindness is a two-way street. Be good to me, I'm going to be good to you. We're going to work together. My job is to serve you, not to hurt you, not to ruin my reputation. I'm not a badge-heavy officer. The officers I work with, I'm very proud of the people I work with.
Okay, let me, for the sake of the listeners out there, I'm going to set up what happened to me because there's so many different scenarios, and this is, you know, and it was a benign stop, and it's probably happened to everybody out there, and I think it covers the questions. I had my family in the car. I was going to get ice cream. This was a couple years ago in September, and I was pulled over for speeding 52, he said, in a 35. And I know he was wrong, but he gave me the ticket anyway because I had an unplugged radar detector on my windshield. But I was carrying a 1911 on my right side, strong side, okay? I'm not required by Georgia law to notify the officer that I was carrying my weapon. So I went ahead and, you know, handed in my driver's license. We went about the stop. No questions were asked. I asked for a warning. First off, does the officer know that I'm carrying a gun, or not that I'm carrying a gun, but that I have a weapons license? Does it show up on the computer?
Not in the state of Georgia, it doesn't. Now, it will tell me if you're on probation, parole, things like that. For some reason, firearms license don't show up.
Okay, so that's a good thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the officer, and I, believe me, I begged, you know, hey, give me some mercy here. I said, I'm new to Georgia, just moved here from Florida, give me a break. It didn't work. the stop went very smooth, no mm-hmm. problems whatsoever. He had no idea. Now, I've written columns about this in Concealed Carry Magazine where I've said, if your state doesn't require you to tell, don't. You're a law-abiding citizen. You're not breaking any laws. You're doing nothing wrong. Where am I wrong there?
You're not wrong. The thing is, I want to emphasize, I do not know you when I come up. You're not wrong in protecting yourself and keeping your mouth shut, because people always think everything I say to an officer is going to incriminate me. Remember, a traffic stop is an investigation. I'm trying to tell you, hey, Mark, your taillights were out. Is there any valid reason your taillights were out? You're in a pickup truck and you say, hey, man, I just backed in the water and took my boat out an hour ago. There's a good reason your taillights are out. You probably didn't know. Now, if you tell me you've got a gun in the car, 9 out of 10 times you're a gun carrier, I know you're not a convicted felon. You're a great guy. And when I do that with you, I'm going to say, hey, man, just don't touch that gun until I get back. And I'll be right back with you.
Okay, now, I've told you that I've got a gun. You know I have a gun. You've seen my permit. You've seen my license. Mm-hmm. Do most officers treat civilian, law-abiding permit holders with respect? You hear the police chiefs associations and all this. We all know they're political appointees. They serve at the pleasure of the mayor or whatever's in office. But the rank-and-file officers out on the streets doing the tough work, the nitty-gritty, dirty work like you are, what's the percentage? Can you give me an idea? Is there a percentage of, are they pro-civilian carry?
I would say in our area, most people are pro-civilian carry. The only problem we typically have with gun carriers, and they do it by mistake, the shirt rides up, the gun comes out, we get a call from a convenience store, a grocery store, and they say, hey, there's a man in here with a gun. You walk up to him, hey, and pull the shirt down. Yeah, do as the Romans
do. Okay, now you're
do.
getting into a topic that we want to cover in detail, mm-hmm. and that's I'm glad you brought that up. Let's switch over to that for a minute. So let's go back to the traffic stop. This is important to the listeners. On the traffic stop, your recommendation as active duty law enforcement is tell the officer, give him your permit, strip any potential fear that there might be, let him know that you're a good guy, and by doing that, that works. And I will say on the first stop that I was referring to, when we opened up here at this segment, when I was pulled over in Florida by Florida Highway Patrol, mm-hmm. I did just that. Officer was fine. Had no problems whatsoever. He asked me where the gun was. I told him. He said, just keep your hands where I can see them. Not a problem. He came back, gave me a warning, let me go, and thanked me. So we'll leave that there. And people's states, and I have to say this to everybody, if your state requires you by law to inform, you better inform. That's the law. Otherwise, you're risking things you don't want to risk. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the man with the gun call. We get that all the time. Florida, Georgia. In Georgia, I've said from time to time, I'm not concerned about open carry in Georgia because a Georgia firearm permit allows me to open carry. So here I don't worry about walking into a grocery store, convenience store, whatever it may be, and my gun riding up or my shirt riding up if I'm reaching on a top shelf. In Florida, that's a no-no. In a lot of other states, that's a no-no. So let's take it from a generic level and not be specific to Georgia. What's your recommendations for somebody carrying concealed?
As someone who carries a gun out in the open on a belt and concealed when I'm off duty, I do the same thing you do. I treat myself like a civilian gun carrier when I'm off duty. I don't want to frighten the horses, is the old saying. I keep my gun hid. I try to have respect. I don't want to put a black eye on gun owners by their saying, this guy just walks around here with a gun on like the Wild West. I don't want anybody to know I've got a gun until the sheepdog has to bite.
Okay, now, obviously in your duties, everybody knows you have a gun. Open carry is a totally different ballgame. There's a large movement across the country right now for open carry. We've got opencarry.org out there right now. It's picking up steam in an awful lot of places. I have to admit that I've opened carry in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I know both sides of the argument. Tactically, I think it's a mistake. You're giving away your advantage. You're giving away that element of surprise that if you find yourself in a life-threatening situation, you're desperately going to want to have. If I'm a crook and I walk in a convenience store and I see somebody buying cookies and a payday and they've got a gun and I'm intent on killing somebody to take the register because I'm a meth head, crack head, loser, scumbag, I'm going to take me out first. Because I don't want the threat. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm doing my job properly, I'm in condition one, I'm looking around, I'm everywhere I need to be, my eyes are open. But that doesn't happen all the time. In reality, you can get caught off guard. So open carry right now, a good thing, a bad thing?
Once it becomes more socially acceptable, I think it will be a good thing. Right now, in some areas, it's very socially acceptable. You go out west, it's awesome out west. I've been out west. I've been hunting, fishing, taking a lot of trips. But here, not so much yet. Depends upon the locale. You got to kind of do as the Romans do. That's the best way to stay out of trouble overall.
Arizona. It's a great point. I was just there. I go out there every year. I carry open in Arizona. I have no problems in Arizona whatsoever. So, but I don't carry open in Phoenix. I don't carry open in the big city, okay? Mm-hmm. Get me outside the city, anywhere else, I'm okay. In the small towns, you know, I get out to Tombstone. I say that a lot. I write about it a lot. I don't have a problem out there. If you're not carrying a gun out there, you looked at kind of funny. In Phoenix,
I like that place.
People, it's a lot of fun. People don't really look at you funky. But you can still get that man with a gun call. I think Arizona's a little more open. So let's go again. We've got about, what, a minute? Okay, a ton of questions for you on this. So let me just open up the question, and then we'll go into the break and bring it back, and you can answer. On a generic standpoint, okay, forgetting Georgia and where we're at, mm-hmm. somebody gets that call. Open carry, for example, is legal in Ohio. Most cops don't even know it. Man with a gun. How should I react? When you approach me, when I don't know the call's been made and I'm coming out of the grocery store or the gas station, and all of a sudden I've got two, yeah, and music. Yeah. We'll carry it right after the break. All right, everybody, 770-226-0920, 888-920-2665, 888-920-2665, 770-226-0920. You're listening to Armed American Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Attention all consumers who now carry a balance on your credit cards. Recently, credit card issuers mailed out notification that interest rates will go up, in some cases as high as 30%, if a single payment is missed. It's true. Increased credit card rates mean more money for the banks and higher payments for you. Remember, credit card companies will now raise your rates if you're late on just one payment. If the tight economy has you leaning too heavily on plastic, it's time for you to stop and call Trinity Debt Management for a free consultation at 1-800-793-9159. You don't have to live with credit card debt. Trinity can put an end to compulsory rate hikes and reduce your interest by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands while consolidating all your credit card bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Call 1-800-793-9159. 1-800-793-9159. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-793-9159.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit georgiacarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiacarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
Holding the anchor in the sea of change of our national dialogue, Georgia's Empowerment Radio is Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Welcome back, everybody, to Armed American Radio, 770-226-0920, 888-920-2665. Want to make a quick comment. We've had a couple calls come in here. The program's for you. We've got to stay on topic, though. We don't want to get state-specific with you on individual laws, and it had nothing to do with open carry, but please stay on topic, and we'll be more than happy to put you on the air. If you've got a call for active-duty law enforcement or you want to tell us a story, feel free to call in and we'll get you live on the air. I apologize to the other two callers. We'll get back to you by email. Hugh, we were talking about, I'm coming out of a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea that I've lifted up to get a bag of Cheetos and some woman down the aisle has seen a gun under my belt. I walk outside and I am pinned in by two sheriff's deputies' cars. What do I do and how are you going to react first?
Okay, well, let's back up to what I get on the radio. I get a call and it says there's a suspicious person at blah, blah, blah grocery store. He's carrying a gun. Okay, I'm going to show up. I'm going to approach you with caution. I'm going to ask you to keep your hands where I can see them. I'm still going to be nice. Just because you've shown a gun, you haven't committed a crime. I'm still going to be nice. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to figure out what the situation is, whether it was an over-alerted citizen or whether you are really a crazy guy and you're going to create an active shooter situation. But we're going to determine that while we're out there talking. But I'm still going to treat you with respect. I'm going to treat you like the person you are, the taxpayer who pays my salary, the person that, you know, I would give my life for at any given time.
Okay, now that sounds all fine and dandy, and it sounds great, and I like hearing that. But I don't know what you're thinking. I've got two armed men standing in front of me. I've watched Cops since 1985, or whenever it came out. You're in uniform, and you're intimidating to me. And I don't know. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. I'm not about the call, because I didn't get a call. I walked out with my bag of Cheetos, and I'm faced with two deputies. Now, if it's nighttime, more than likely there's going to be some lights on. That's intimidating in and of itself. So my reaction, number one, is probably going to be fear and intimidation. Why are you here first? Are you going to tell me why you got the call right away?
I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to pull you to the side away from anybody else. So if there is a conflict, nobody else is injured, nobody else is hurt. Also, I'm going to move you tactically to the best place I can, and I'm going to perform what the Supreme Court says I can do, a Terry frisk. That's for officer safety. I'm going to check you. The golden rule is, always you here, treat others as you want to be treated. But also remember the golden rule in law enforcement is officer safety. You got to come home at the end of your shift. So we're going to diagnose the problem. We're going to fix the problem. If you are a bad guy, then we're going to run you. We're going to talk to you. I'm also going to run you through GCIC, NCIC. I'm going to check you out. I'm going to make sure you're okay. Show me your gun permit, things like that. We're going to fix the problem. It's probably an over-alerted citizen.
Okay. Now that's, again, respectfully, I haven't broken any laws. There isn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is what I'm thinking. I haven't broken the law. There isn't a problem. I've given you my gun permit. Isn't that the end of it? Why should I be run through G-Nix, Phoenix, C-Nix, D-Nix, whatever else it is, when I've not broken any laws? Now, I say that out of respect because you see this on the gun boards everywhere, and I want to try to address these very poignant questions with you because we see this everywhere. I have not broken any laws. I've done nothing wrong. I can carry my gun openly if I wish to. I've given you my permit. It's valid. Shouldn't that be the end of the stop?
We have a reasonable amount of time to make sure you're okay. You're who you say you are, and then we're going to let you go.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah. That's fair enough. Now, let's go. So what the recommendation for folks out there is, look, you're in the situation. It's happened. You didn't bring it on. You're a law-abiding citizen. Be respectful. Be mindful. Understand that the officers arriving at the scene don't know that. All they know is what came over their radio. And because you're law-abiding, because you haven't broken any rules, everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now we all know that there are some instances that it's not okay. There's a lawsuit going on here in Georgia now. We won't get into that, but one of the GCO members was arrested for carrying his gun concealed when he was carrying openly. And that's, you know, we'll go into that differently, but or on another program. However, as long as I'm respectful, as long as I do what I'm asked, now that goes back to, do we really want to open carry and waste your time? You've got more important things to do on the street than approach a law-abiding citizen who's done nothing wrong and waste 15 minutes of your valuable time or however long it takes, not to mention scaring the wits out of the law-abiding citizen. Because let's face it, law-abiding citizens respect the law, and we are. We are intimidated by law enforcement. There's no question about it. No matter how nice you want to be, it's intimidating when you're approached. Now, it's different in a traffic stop because we see a blue light us or green light us or red light us or all three combo lights, and we know what's happening. You know, oh, man, I'm speeding.
Let me interject something, though. Open carry, if you got a really cool holster and really great grips on your gun, you know. I mean,
so if I just got that new Galco shark
that
skin or pig skin, I'm good to rock and roll. But otherwise, keep the gun concealed is your recommendation, right?
Do as the Romans do. Treat every locale different. You know what's socially acceptable in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what's right. I mean, use your common sense because you're using common sense. You're carrying a gun. God gave you one life to live. You're protecting it. So use common sense. That's all I ask.
Let's tell a quick story here. You were with your family?
Yes, sir, I was.
Downtown Atlanta?
Yes, sir.
And you are active duty?
Yes.
But you were off duty?
Yes, sir, I was.
Okay, and you took your family to a tourist thing in Atlanta, and let's name names because we are politically incorrect, World of Coke?
Yes, sir.
Doesn't want what?
They don't want off-duty armed officers there.
Well, here's my deal to World of Coke. No guns, no money. You're active duty law enforcement. You're off duty, and what did they tell you?
They said that was a safety zone, and I respected their rights because it is a private place. But I looked at it and I said, "Hey, I'm part of your safety zone."
Well, I have to say this because you reminded me of something. And ladies and gentlemen listening out there, Princeton, New Jersey, did an absolutely wonderful job this week. Oh man, I was blown away when I saw it. They went on lockdown. Did you hear this?
Mm-hmm.
Princeton University went on lockdown. All four perpetrators were, according to the reports, in custody and being questioned for carrying a toy gun. Congratulations to Princeton University for locking down the university for a toy gun. My kid's got a box full of them, and I love when he runs around and says, bang, bang, you're dead to the neighbor kids. We are not politically correct here. Have fun. Play with the guns. World of Coke, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
And they actually told you, you're not welcome here, this is a safety zone, and you're a cop.
And what was the first call I made? It was you, wasn't it?
It was, and it was hilarious. I just could not believe what I had heard. We've got another couple minutes here.
Okay.
Pick something else as a law enforcement officer. What is it that you want us to know? What do we need to know as law-abiding citizens?
Okay, I want to build that bridge right now while we're talking. I want to build that bridge between law enforcement and the gun carriers and just the general public. I want them to know that people in the state of Georgia, we go through a class called verbal judo. Goes back to that roadhouse thing about being nice. We're going to be nice till it's time not to be nice. We're training our officers not to be badge heavy. We're training them to represent this state. When people leave this state, if they get pulled over, they say, wow, those guys are really nice.
Now, is it true, you go somewhere else, you hear like Maryland cops. Mm-hmm. I lived up there years ago, not in Maryland, but I would drive through Maryland. Well, I'll tell you what, I never had one positive encounter with a law enforcement officer up there in the state patrol. They were brutal. And they had a reputation of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the populace knew that. And I'm sure maybe things have changed up there. But so what you're telling us is, and I don't want to be specific to Georgia.
Yes, sir.
But isn't this, all law enforcement across the spectrum feels this way for the most part. Are we right?
The verbal judo movement, things like that, is a sweeping movement to, number one, we're going to take officer complaints down by over 80% by doing this. We're also going to show respect to the people that pay our salary. But we're also, they know we mean business, and they know what we're doing out there. And we state in the traffic stop what we're doing out there. We didn't pull you over because you had a red car.
Now, there are anti-gun cops out there.
Yes,
there are anti-civilian carry cops out there that think, I'm law enforcement, I'm trained, I went to school to do this. This is my job, is to protect people, and I can respect that, but there's an ego thing going on out there. What happens when I run into one of those?
Best thing you can do, deal with the moment at hand, bite your tongue, take a deep breath, let it go. You'll be through with him in just a few minutes.
Okay, very good. Officer, we could talk about this. We weren't even able to scratch the surface. We're going to have you back. You can come in here at any time. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us on Armed American Radio. Join us next week when we'll have Mr. Bill Akins and noted attorney John Monroe will be here in the studio with me. Bill Akins will be down in Florida. Kick us in at www.usconcealedcarry.com, www.armedamericanradio.com, and theamericangunfighter.com. Folks, we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio with your host, Mark Walters. Brought to you every Sunday evening by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Hear us next Sunday at 8 p.m. right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And to learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
920 a.m.
WGKA.
Atlanta.